Look at verse 9 of Acts chapter 14. This man who is described in verse 8 as impotent, being a cripple from his mother's womb and who had never walked, the same heard Paul speak. Now, we know that he heard Paul preaching the gospel. The same heard Paul speak. And I don't know if there's another statement like this in the Scripture. But Paul was steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. He looked at this man and he perceived that he had faith to be healed. And what did he do? He said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And this man who had been a cripple from the womb leaped. He didn't just try to get up. He leaped and he walked. Now I have entitled this message, "Faith to be healed." Faith to be healed. Now, this word "healed" is the word that is usually translated "saved." The Scripture, "By grace are ye saved." Same word. You could just as easily say, "Faith to be saved." Now, if we simply read this as one of the miracles that took place during the New Testament era and move on, we'll miss a glorious illustration of the gospel. Every aspect of the gospel is in this story. And it reads much like an Old Testament type. May the Lord help us to understand the gospel from this passage of Scripture. Now, it begins with a phrase I always love reading. "And there sat a certain man at Lystra." Now this story begins with God's sovereignty. God's salvation is not generic. It's not universal. It's not potential. It's not an offer up for you to accept or reject. It's no such thing. And whenever it's presented in that light, the gospel is not preached. God always saves certain men. The ones He saves, the men and women, the boys or girls that He saves are only those whom He intends to save. He always saves certain men and women. Now, there may have been other cripples at Lystra at this time. I don't know. But this certain man was the one God intended to save. I love what the Lord said. "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." I think of that scripture in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. "But we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." This was a certain man that God, through Christ, intended to save. I'm so thankful for certain men, aren't you? This is something that's in the Scripture so often. I want to be one of these certain people that He has come to save. Now we have a statement about this man's condition. Verse 8, there sat a certain man at Lystra, and four things are said about this man. He was impotent in his feet, being a cripple. From his mother's womb, who had never walked. Now there are the four statements made regarding this man. And this would be an accurate description of me and you. First, this man was described as impotent. You know what that means? Powerless. Without spiritual ability. Powerless. Now this word is found 10 times in the New Testament, and 7 times the word is translated impossible. Impossible. This word is used with regard to the disciples coming up to the Lord and seeing the rich man walk away. They said, who then can be saved? This is the best humanity has to offer. Who then can be saved? The Lord said, with men, it is impossible. Now, inability. Did you know that you can't believe, you cannot repent, you cannot love God, you cannot come to Christ unless He causes you to? Because you and I are in a state naturally of inability. Now, the question I got for you, is this a theological concept to you, or is this you? Is this your reality? Unable. The Lord said, no man can come to me except it were given to him of my Father. It's impossible. It is impossible for a man to do anything to save himself. And let me say this as clearly as I can. If salvation is in any way dependent upon you doing something before God can work, you won't be saved. And I won't be saved. This man was impotent, powerless, without strength. And the next description of him, he was impotent, he was powerless, being a cripple. That was his state, being a cripple. Now this word cripple means, if you look up the definition of the word, it means without a foot. Without a foot. And the same word is used when the Lord was talking about it's better to enter into life with one foot than having 2 feet to be cast into hell. This man did not have what it was he needed to believe, to repent, to love God. He was without something that he needed that rendered him impotent and powerless. You see, he didn't have a new nature. He didn't have a holy nature. See, the Lord said, you must be born again. You must be born from above. Whatever it was that this man needed to believe, to repent, to love God, he did not have. You see, it's the holy nature, it's the new nature that performs all the actions of spiritual life, faith, repentance, and love. And these things are impossible for the natural man. He was without a foot. I don't know whether he actually just only had 1 foot or whether one a club foot or some kind of deformity, but he didn't have what he needed. It would have to be given to him. Now the third thing that I would notice about this man, it says in our text, being a cripple from his mother's womb. How long had he been that way? From the womb. This illustrates me and you being born a cripple and impotent from the womb. That is the way we were born. Because of Adam's sin, we were born into this world in this horrible state, being a cripple from the womb. David said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I was born this way. I was born bad. Born evil. That's why I was born. As a result of Adam's fall and me having Adam's fallen nature, I was born into this world evil, impotent, not having what I needed to perform the functions of spiritual life. And what was the consequence of this dreadful state of this man? And you think of how horrible this must have been. He was powerless. He was a cripple from the womb. And as a result of that, the Scripture says in verse 8, he never had walked. Because of my sinful nature, I have never done anything but sin. Romans 3, verses 10 through 12 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. There's none that seeketh after God. They have altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Beloved, me and you have not kept one commandment one time. Even now you're saying that about yourself? With regard to the holy law of God, if you think you have kept one commandment one time, you just don't understand the law. You don't understand who God is. You don't understand who you are. This man had never walked. Now let's go on reading. Verse 9. The same, this certain man, this certain man God intended to save. This certain man who was impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Now, I don't know what position he was in. I don't know what he was in the temple. But the same heard Paul speak. The same heard Paul speak. And it says, who steadfastly beholding him, Paul beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, or faith to be saved, is the word. This is what Paul perceived. He perceived in his face something in his countenance. Now, I'm going to talk about that in a few moments, but I think it's interesting. You know, they weren't wearing masks back then. And he could see something in this man's face that caused him to perceive that he had faith to be healed. But faith to be saved. Now the word saved, this is very important. The word saved is in the passive voice. Do you know what that means? That means in this thing of salvation, he was passive. He had faith to be saved. Now, if any part of my salvation is dependent upon some activity on my part, something active that I do, I will not be saved. If there is one step I must first take before God can do something for me, I will not be saved. And salvation is by works in the first place, if that's so. If that's so, that would make salvation by works. Now, faith to be saved in the passive. Let me say this. Now, somebody will hear this and say, well, passive, nothing I can do. I'll just wait and see what God does. You know, if He does anything. Now, if you have that kind of attitude, Well, God's not done anything for you. You can be sure of that. I mean, if somebody would just think, well, you know, passive, okay, nothing. I'm okay. I'll just wait and see. That none of the elect will respond like that. Not a one of them will. But let's consider this thing of passive. The faith I have it, but I didn't actively get it. He gave it to me. By grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The repentance I have, I repent. But the repentance I have, I didn't actively do something to get it. He gave it to me. Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance to life. I love the Lord. But that didn't begin with me. We love Him because He first loved us. Everything in our experience, we were passive in it. It's what God did for us. And the language is so exact. Faith to be saved. Salvation is what God does for you. It's not what you accept from Him or what you allow Him to do. It's what He does for you. Now you think of all the aspects of salvation. Election. God choosing who would be saved before time began. That's passive in that. God didn't ask me if I wanted to be one of the elect. He didn't look down through the telescope of time and say, well, I can see Todd's going to believe. No, He chose me to be saved. I was passive in this thing. It's what He did. In redemption, He didn't die for me in response to me asking Him to do it. He didn't die for me because of something I could do for Him. I was passive in this thing. I wasn't even born when He did it. And He put away my sin. In justification. This is something I was passive in. I didn't do something for God to declare me to be justified. He declared me to be justified because of what Christ did. It's not something... He didn't say, do you want to be justified or not? No, nothing like that. He declared me to be justified. I was passive in this. In regeneration, being born again. When you were first born, were you passive or active in that thing? Well, you were passive, weren't you? You didn't have anything to do with it. Even in this thing of perseverance, persevering in the faith, I'm passive in it. The reason I persevere is because He preserves me and causes me to. So in this thing, it's faith to be saved. And if you're saved, you know it's that way. Somebody that argues against this, well, the reason you'd argue against this is because you've never experienced it. If you're saved, you know this is the way you're saved. God saved you. Christ saved you. The Holy Spirit gave you life. He didn't do it in response to something you did. He did it as an act of His own free and sovereign will. By grace ye are saved. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. Now Paul looked at this fella and he heard Paul preach. I like the way this says the same heard Paul speak. He heard Paul preaching the gospel and he was given ears to hear. Turn with me for a moment to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Why, Paul? Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, not as a denominational distinctive, not because some theologian said this. You didn't receive it as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Turn back to 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Now, how do you know something like that, Paul? How do you know somebody's one of God's elect? Do you have access to the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you been in heaven and seen that? No, but here's how I know. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and much assurance. Now, that's not talking about much assurance of your personal salvation. That's talking about much assurance. This is the Word of God. This is the very truth of God. When you heard it, you knew. You know, one of the things I love about the truth, as soon as you hear it, you know it's true. You know it's true. And Paul saw that this man heard. He was like those people. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 48. That's real close. This is part of this, close to this story. Look in verse 48. Acts 13, 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they heard the gospel Paul preached. They were glad and they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now, I think it's so interesting that Paul perceived something that made him know that they had faith to believe. Because I know I don't have that gift. I don't have that gift. Now, I look at countenances. I look at people. You know, when I'm preaching, you might have somebody that's disinterested, bored. You might have somebody who's even mad. You might have somebody who has a great countenance, and you can just tell. It appears that they're hanging on every word, but then maybe you find out if you ask what I preach on, they might not even know. You know, they just look good. You know, doing it. But the thing is, I don't have whatever Paul had. I realize I don't have that. When I think I do, I get miserable. I start thinking I can see in somebody's mind what they're thinking and everything, and I start getting mad for what, you know, not even knowing what it is. I'm a mess. But Paul had some kind of ability where he could actually see on the countenance of this man. And then what a blessing it is when you're preaching and you really feel like there's communication going on between you and somebody listening. They're hearing this as the gospel, not as just a preacher giving his words, but actually hearing God's word declared. And Paul looked at this man and he saw that he had faith to be saved. Faith to be healed. Faith to be saved. Saving faith. Saving faith. Now, I'm not saved because of my faith. I'm saved because God saved me. I'm saved because God elected me before the foundation of the world to be saved. I'm saved because Jesus Christ came as my surety and took full responsibility for my salvation. And He took my sin upon Himself and put it away and gave me His very righteousness to make me stand before God just and complete. I'm saved because God the Holy Spirit gave me life. He gave me ears to hear the gospel and a heart to receive the gospel. That's why I'm saved. I'm not saved because of my faith. I'm saved because God saved me. And you know what? I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. I know that that is so. Faith is believing God. Faith is believing Him. Faith is not believing you're saved. Faith is believing He is the Savior. Faith, now let me repeat this as strongly as I can. Faith doesn't have anything to do with what you believe about yourself. Faith is 100% what you believe with regard to Him. I love it when the Lord said to that woman at the well, "Woman, believe me." Faith's believing Him. Let me show you a passage of Scripture in John chapter 11. Would you turn there? John chapter 11. This is when the Lord was talking to Martha. He said in verse 23, "Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again." Talking about the resurrection. Thy brother shall rise again. Remember, Lazarus had died, and they're all upset about it. And he says to Martha, thy brother shall rise again. Well, she already knew that. She understood the doctrine of the resurrection. And she said, Martha said in him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. I've already got that down. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. The resurrection is not simply an event. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, there's the key. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I know you believe in the resurrection. Do you believe this? Now, what does it take to believe him? Do you know all it takes is to know who he is? That's it. All it takes to believe him is to know who he is. Do you know he's the Lord? That means the absolute sovereign, the one whose will is always done. Do you know he's the Christ? God's prophet? God's priest? The priest after the order of Melchizedek? Not one of those Levitical priests. But the priest after the order of Melchizedek, who has no beginning and no end, abides a son eternally, a priest eternally. Do you know he's God's king? He really is king. It's not a figurehead. He's king. He's king of kings. He's Lord of Lords. Everybody and everything is in His hand and His will is always done. Faith is believing Him. Faith is knowing who He is. You know, Bartimaeus knew who He was, didn't he? Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. That leper knew who He was. Lord, if You will, You can. Make me clean. Faith is knowing who He is. You know, He's the Son of God. He's God the Son. You know, this is something you don't so much understand as believe. God is one God in three distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's the Son of God. You can't call on His name if you don't know who He is. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whom do men say that I am? Well, they say good things. They put you in some high company. Whom say ye that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, if you believe Him, everything else falls into place. If you know who He is, everything else becomes obvious. You don't struggle with any. He's the Lord. He's God. Whatever He does is right. Whatever He does is good. I just get behind that. He's the Lord. And I don't need to understand everything He does. I don't understand. But I believe He is the Lord. And obviously, He must be successful. He must just on and on. It's because of who He is. Faith to be saved is the type of faith that believes only. What do I mean by that? Well, Jairus heard that his daughter was dead. And I can imagine how much he must have slumped when he heard that message. And the Lord said, fear not. Believe only. Now, what's it mean to believe only?
I think one of the things that aggravates me as much as anything I ever hear a preacher say is repent of your sins and believe on Christ. Turn from your sins and trust Christ. Now, if I present the gospel in that light, I'm putting a barrier between the sinner and Christ. I'm saying, here's what you need to do before you can trust Christ. And that is called salvation by works. Now, are you saying it's okay to remain in your sin? Sin's never okay. Sin's never okay. And I'm always a sinner. So I don't know what else to say about that. Sin's never okay. And there's never an excuse for sin, and we ought not ever sin again. But for a preacher to get up and say, turn from your sins and trust the Savior. Well, I need to turn from my sins before I can trust the Savior. That is called salvation by works. That is all it is. Now, I realize there would people would be critical of this. I can't help it. It's the truth. I'm not going to try to explain it away. Believe only. Not believe and. Believe only. And if I don't believe only, I don't believe at all. This is the only way faith is. It is only. Faith. He saw he had faith to be saved. Faith to be saved is a faith that really believes in saving grace. I love what Peter said in Acts chapter 15. I can't wait till we get to Acts chapter 15 in a few weeks, I guess. But he said, we believe, and this is every believer's, this is our statement of faith. We believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved even as they, those Gentiles. Now, this is spoken in a language, the Greek language, that actually says, and could be translated in all three ways accurately, we believe that by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been saved. Plumb, altogether saved. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're being saved. Right now. And we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. And you know, saving faith, here's, if you have faith to be saved, you're going to be that, like that leper. You remember in Luke chapter 17 how the Lord healed 10 lepers? He said, go show to Moses the things with regard to your cleansing. And they went, and as they went, they were healed. Only one returned, though. And what did he do? He gave Christ the glory. Now, this is what saving faith does. It always gives Jesus Christ all of the glory. This one man returned. You can read about it. Let me look in Acts 17. We'll just read the last few verses of the... Not Acts 17, Luke 17. Verse 15, and one of them, of these ten, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, and there the word is saved. Same thing. The words are used quite often interchangeably. He turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? They are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And there once again the word made whole is saved. Thy faith hath saved thee. I love 2 Thessalonians. This is another thing that is always involved in saving faith. There's always love in saving faith. Now, what do I mean by that? Paul spoke in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10,
of those who receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You know, if you're a believer, you do too. I'm speaking as a spokesman for all of us. I love the fact that God has given us an infallible revelation called the Bible. And I love what the Word of God says. And I love the God the Bible reveals to us, the God who's absolutely sovereign, who really is God. I mean, He's a God worthy of just bowing down and worshiping. You don't call Him into... He's God. I love the fact that the Bible tells me that I really am nothing but sin. And let me tell you why I love that. Because it tells me where not to look. I'm not to look for anything out of myself to be saved. I got to look outside of myself. Somebody says, that's a negative doctrine. It ain't a negative doctrine to me. It's a positive doctrine because it causes me to look to Christ. You tell me I'm totally depraved and totally unable. Lord, help me. I can't do anything to save myself. It's a good thing. I love the truth. I love the truth that God chose the people to be saved, because if He didn't, I know I wouldn't be saved. I love that Christ is a completely successful Redeemer, and that when He said it is finished, it was finished. My hope is that He died for me. That's my hope. Not anything in me. I love it that His grace is saving grace. Irresistible, invincible. That's the only kind of grace that will save me. I love the fact that He preserves His people all the way to the end. I receive the love of the truth. Now, back to our text. The same heard Paul speak, verse 9. Who steadfastly beholding Him and perceiving that He had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, won't you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and let Him into your heart? Doesn't that stuff sound ridiculous? Just ridiculous. The gospel is a command. Stand upright on thy feet. And you know what? He leaped. He leaped up and walked. You see, it was Christ making this command. Yes, it was through the voice of Paul, but it was Christ making this command. I could go up to the fella and say, stand upright, and he'd just lay there and look at me and think, you're crazy? Yeah, probably. You know, I mean, but no, when the Lord speaks through the voice of Paul, this cripple, impotent from the womb, perhaps without a foot, leaped up and walked. Now, I pray that I'm this certain man and that you're this certain man. Hearing the gospel, impotent, being a cripple from the womb, and had never walked, will hear the command of Christ and leap up and walk. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in Christ's name, that name that's above every name, that You would say to our hearts, stand up and walk. And that You would give us the grace to do what we cannot do by nature. Believe on Your Son. I bless this word for His sake. In His name we pray.